Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Erica Dela Cruz, your host for Women to Watch Behind the Scenes. With me today is our leading lady, Selena Vidya. Good morning, Selena. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. How about you?
Really great. You have a great Easter weekend?
I did. Lots of relaxation, lots of good food, and it was a much needed reset for the week.
Wonderful. Well, Selena is here with us today, having just launched a podcast called Permissionless, and she's also president of a strategic digital marketing agency called Orthos. Selena, do you want to give us a little bit of background on how you got into both of these things and elaborate a little on each?
Sure. So I'll kind of give you the quick story on the marketing side because there's a long-winded story behind that, but I went to college for business and then finance, and right when I was graduating, you know, with my finance degree, the housing industry crashed. My dreams of going to Wall Street basically blew up in my face, and I had to find a different way to, you know, basically start making a living in the professional world. And so I was always interested in writing and blogging at the time because that's when blogging and social was really starting to take off in the mid-2000s. And I started working for this boutique agency, doing some content creation and learning something called SEO. And I just, that was supposed to be a temporary job while I figured out, you know, what to do on the finance side. And it turned out to be something I loved. Social media was starting to become a really big part of, you know, how businesses were trying to market and the individuals themselves. And from there, I just really grew within each agency. I started taking director positions and building teams internally and really learning the overall breadth of organic marketing. And I fell in love. So that's kind of how I fell into that side of things. Mm-hmm. And with the Permissionless podcast, so throughout my life, I've always done a lot of creative projects and endeavors, whether it's writing or acting or content creation. And I started to notice that there's a lot of women, especially that I've met lately, who feel like because they have a professional life in one area, they can't, or they feel like they can't necessarily go to another area that shows a different side of themselves. So Permissionless is really celebrating women who have taken the step to just show themselves, work on things that they're passionate about, and show that we can do basically whatever we want to in life.
That is amazing. Yeah, so you are what we refer to here as a girl boss or a boss babe, a passionista, so maintaining day jobs while also pursuing dream jobs and incorporating what you're passionate about into your career. So congratulations on that. I want to talk a little bit about the title. How did you come up with Permissionless? And today's theme is unapologetic. So it dovetails pretty nicely with that. Why do you think it's important to sort of rein that statement permissionless, especially when speaking to women?
Sure. So permissionless, it just kind of started off as the seed of a word and it started sticking to me. And I ended up naming the podcast that because as I was starting to talk to women and even myself and really digging into, you know, what makes me tick and what I want to do, I found that people would often say, you know, I can't give myself permission to do that, or they felt like they needed permission from either themselves or another individual, a parent, a significant other, something like that. There was always that big word permission, like there was a line that they had to cross and permission was that line. And I started thinking about the fact that, you know, people really need to live without permission and women really need to empower themselves with a permissionless way of living where you don't need to ask permission from anybody. You don't even really need to ask permission from yourself. You just need to go out and do it. And I just think that's a big elephant in the room and why I really wanted to name it that. So permissionless is really just not needing permission to do anything.
Got it. Yeah, and I noticed that permissionless is actually referred to as a movement, so sort of a new wave of women being unapologetic and not asking permission to go and pursue the endeavors that they want to pursue. Did you catch wind of this theme emerging within sort of this millennial generation, or was it an aha moment that you experienced maybe in being permissionless or going sort of against the societal constructs of what you were doing in your career?
Sure. It was a little of both. So for me personally, when it was kind of an aha moment, so I was in this weird spot. I had just left working at an agency and I took the leap to start working for myself and building a consultancy. And in that time, you know, I had a lot of passion projects. I'm still in Los Angeles, but I just moved here at the time. And I really wanted to pursue a little bit harder, more of the acting and writing side of things. And I kept finding myself thinking, you know, what if a client knows that I'm acting, or what if a client knows that I'm doing this creative side of life that I really love? Are they going to think differently of me? And then I just kind of had the aha moment where I'm like, you know what, it doesn't matter if someone doesn't want to work with me because I'm a woman who is exploring different areas that I happen to be good at and that I want to pursue, then they're not the right client for me. So that was personally for me. And then on the millennial side, it definitely ties into that because I feel like in the past there were a lot of gatekeepers, especially on the media side of things. So gatekeepers in entertainment, gatekeepers for radio shows, gatekeepers for podcasts. And now you can literally, if you have an idea for a show or a podcast or you have a message to get out there, you can just create it and you have all of the tools available to do it. So nothing is really holding you back. So millennials especially, and even, you know, the older generations can live with a sense of permissionlessness because they can just start creating whatever they want to and getting it out there to the world.
Right. The tools themselves were created in forms of, like you said, social media, even the podcast. What was the idea to do a podcast called Permissionless rather than a blog or traditional news feed via website?
Sure. So I did play around with the idea of having it as a blog. And there's a couple of reasons why I didn't do it that way initially. For one, I spent a lot of time writing in various places and keeping up blogs and writing for other publications. And it was such a, not a taxing process, but I find that when you have to refine your writing, you tend to change what you want to get out in the world, right? Because you have time to reread it and reread it. And
exactly.
I decided, perfection. And it often mutes what you really want to get across. So the idea of the podcast is I would have people come on. I'd prep them a little bit with some questions, but I really just wanted to get the honest answers from them. And sometimes when you're talking live, things come out that you wouldn't expect to come out in a good way because you're not doing written interviews and you don't have time to really deliberate about it. So going the podcasting route just felt, you know, people's attention spans are shorter, so they can consume this rather than sit down and have to read it. You know, people are all over the place, whether they're commuting. There's a lot of people who are working from home offices now. The startup life is very crazy. So being able to consume the podcast whenever somebody can, however they want to, was really appealing for me.
Yeah, that's great. And I want to shift a little bit. So for our audience today, you spoke a little bit about professionalism and how that's even changing and how it changed for you. You know, you decided you were in a career and there may have even been some fear attached to letting your clients know about your other interests or let alone pursuing them. Do you think that's changing as a whole? And what do you think is the importance and emphasis to put on the new, this new idea of professionalism and what it means for a woman to incorporate not only her career and business into her conversations with her clients and other prospective, you know, partners while networking versus incorporating all of her interests in her life, the passions she's pursuing, and like you referred to, I think you called them side projects or side gigs and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think all that incorporates into this idea of professionalism and what it is now?
Sure. There was definitely a lot of fear when I had started pursuing what I really wanted to pursue and when I was trying to juggle building a consultancy and also getting clients in. And I think the idea of professionalism, it has changed a lot. And I think it's because of all of the options we have to put ourselves out there now. So before, when you entered into a career, you know, you would just start working within your company, moving up the ladder. Nobody really had an idea of what you were doing in your outside life before social media became a thing, before blogging became a thing, before you had all these avenues. So now I feel like people can really see 360 degrees of who you are as a woman, or at least what you want to show, you know, to the public of yourself. And, you know, I think that's valuable because, one, if you're in a networking scenario, you can bring other aspects of yourself and your experience from other industries or projects to the conversation. And it really just makes you, you know, a true three-dimensional person, as you should be as a woman. And I also think that having, you know, interests and other things you're working on as a person can also bring different aspects to things that you may work on another person with. So I think professionalism is changing in that it's a little bit looser. I almost feel like people expect and want to see more of you than what they've seen of you in the past. And I almost think that, you know, when somebody meets somebody and they're not able to really understand what they love, what their passions are, it makes it a little bit harder to connect because not everybody wants to stay on strictly a business level anymore. I feel like people just really want to know the person behind the business and the woman behind the business.
Right. And on that, I always say that social media has essentially given the general public their own tabloids. So now you have the freedom to publish whatever it is you'd like the rest of the world to know about you. So, I too think that it's definitely heading that way in terms of professionalism. And then having worked in social media and blogging when you were starting out in the agencies and finding that you had sort of a knack for that, do you think now that the lines are a little bit blurred in terms of meeting a partner or a client or someone that you're doing business with? Is there a three-day rule or some sort of magic rule that we should be aware of in adding your clients on those social media outlets? There's, you know, we have LinkedIn, but then in addition, people are now gravitating toward Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And where do you think that fine line lies? Do you think it's after a few lunches and you've developed a personal relationship? Or most recently, one example of that is someone was complaining that that a client of hers literally just went to her Facebook probably immediately, and she's been seeing this as soon as they get her email, they add her there. Do you think that's appropriate, or how do you think the etiquette's going in that realm?
Yeah, you know what? I think about this all the time, and I struggle with it because part of me really, really wants to become close with clients and know them on a personal level, but at the same time, it's difficult to understand where that barrier is, and it's kind of like dating, right? Like, where is that time period where you can actually contact somebody and not freak them out or not reveal things about yourselves where they're like, wow, who is this person?
Right.
So I think, you know, with LinkedIn, I'm pretty okay with that. Usually within, you know, I like to meet the person. I mean, I like to meet them in person, usually have coffee or something. And then the LinkedIn addition isn't really a big deal. So if they add me a day after or if I add them a day after, that's okay. Twitter, I find that clients usually don't follow me on Twitter too quickly. That's a little bit of a later time. So that can even be months. I'll usually follow a client on Twitter pretty quickly, so maybe a week. I give it a little bit more time than a few days. And then on Facebook, unless I'm really, really close with a client or a partner and they become friends of mine, and we went out to dinner, we went out to coffee, I know their circle of, you know, partners, business acquaintances or friends, I don't add them on Facebook. And I've tried adding them on Facebook before if I haven't known them very long, and setting a filter, but it's just too difficult to start thinking about filtering out certain people. And, you know, I tend to treat Facebook as highly private, and it takes a lot for me to add a client there, and vice versa.
Got it. Yeah, that was my next question. Is there one outlet where you, it's sort of last on the list, like you are just completely yourself? It's kind of, you really need to know you personally. And for you, that's Facebook, you think?
It's definitely Facebook, yeah.
Got it. Well, that's perfect for what we're about to do, which is For all of our audience listening today and wanting to know more, find out more about the podcast or Orthos, how can they reach you? What are a few outlets where people can reach out to you with either questions or something they may have heard on the show today?
Sure. So for permission, there's two places. Twitter is probably the best place to reach out to me because I'm on there and I'll see it very quickly. And the handle there is permissionless with an underscore before the less, which is a whole other story because I have a trademark and I can't get the Twitter handle for permissionless.
Oh, I know how that goes.
Which is kind of funny. Yeah. And then selena@permissionless.com will also go directly to me. And then my personal Twitter account, which is also a very fast way to reach me, is just Selena Vidya.
So Selena Vidya.
Mm-hmm.
And Vidya, for our audience, is spelled V-I-D-I-Y-A. And again,
yep,
the email
Oh, pardon. Oh, it's V-I-D-Y-A.
Right. Sorry about that. I added an extra I.
Oh,
sorry
okay.
about that. So, yeah, and then your email is selena@permissionless.com.
Yes.
Wonderful. All right. And so one of the themes that connected Women of Influence this year is really looking forward, looking back. So they've launched we've launched our Sue Talks, which Sue is Successful, Unstoppable, Empowered Women, giving talks about not only their career endeavors, but things they've experienced personally. And those age ranges definitely vary. Personally, I gave a talk on more of the millennial perspective and what I've been through and how that shaped my career. And then we had some so amazing, well-established women speaking to theirs as well. What do you think the value is of hearing from each other in terms of intergenerationally? So millennials speaking to women who have been through it, have gone through their careers, experienced the trials and tribulations, and vice versa. What do you think those women can learn from more so the up-and-coming generation?
I think there's a lot to learn. So the intergenerational thing is very interesting to me because I feel like, you know, millennials kind of lose a little bit of how to build a relationship offline with individuals. Mm-hmm. So learning from women who have been in the physical workplace, they've dealt with, you know, a lot of things in the past, like sexism comes into play, you know, for that generation in the workplace. Money comes into play, which is still a very big issue, equal pay. And so, you know, on that side, I think the millennial generation can really understand how to navigate people and how to build relationships and how to really connect. And on the other side of things, I think the older generation can really learn a little bit about how to personally connect in a faster way, how to show a little bit more of themselves as women so that, you know, they're three-dimensional and people can appreciate all aspects of them. And really how to take advantage of new media. So, you know, in the past, if they had messages that they really wanted to share or something that they wanted to inspire people to do, they can take advantage of new media in the way that the millennial generation has done in order to get that message out there.
Right, and that's a perfect example with your podcast. And do you tend to identify more so with the millennial generation yourself?
You know, that's a good question. I feel like I'm right in the middle because in some ways I'm still very, very old school. And then in some ways I'm completely millennial where I'm just like, you know, I don't want to do it that way. That's the old way. So I'd say if I had to choose, I'm probably closer to the millennial way of thinking at this point.
Right. But then, as you said, developing personal relationships comes more so easily sometimes for the women who are more established, probably because they had to go to those meetings and, you know, navigate their career in person versus now mm-hmm. a lot of us are behind a computer screen and, like you said, tweeting. So,
yeah,
that makes sense. So for some of the women listening today, we're talking about your podcast, Permissionless. What kind of women are you featuring there? What could they expect if they were to tune into an episode?
Sure. So there's two types of women that I'm really showcasing. The first type of woman is somebody who has industry jumped. So they've started in one area of their life, and then they realize, you know, whether it be through a passion that drew them to it or just something that they really had a big inclination to work towards, they moved into a different industry and then eventually ended up starting their own business. So a lot of women are actually working for themselves, and they talk about some of the hardships that went with launching their own company, some of the missteps that they've taken, and also some of the ways that they're celebrating how amazing it is to work for yourself. And then I'm also chatting with women in the creative field, because that's a whole nother beast, you know, when it comes to one, working for yourself, two, negotiating, and three, being brave and putting your work out there and knowing that people are going to love it. So creatives and business owners.
Wonderful. And does that stem from your personal journey?
It does. It does. Because I'm in a little bit of both. So I did launch my business, and then I'm also on the creative side. And I find that, you know, when I'm out and about and I'm networking, like we had talked about before, I have women that I connect with on both sides of the field. So I went to a entertainment event a couple of months ago, and there's this incredible woman who I'm not going to reveal her name because I'm hoping to get her on the podcast, but she just had such an incredible journey coming from, you know, a different country and getting her footing here in the entertainment industry and just rising to the position she rose to. So she just had the hustle of both the business side of things and the creative side. So I really love showcasing women like that.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. Overcoming and those situations. And we love to hear what women have been through personally and what they've taken from the situations. And since you are on our show this morning, is there one piece of advice or maybe a tip or even situation you found yourself in that really was the tipping point that made you decide, I am going to be unapologetic, I am going to be bold and take risks, and even that may have led to permissionless?
Sure. So there's actually a very interesting situation, and this is what I always bring up, and it's more focused on when I was kind of working through the corporate agency world. And there's a point in time where I really, really wanted to take on a certain position within the company. You know, I had the chops to do it. I was well prepared to do it. And it was SEO specific. And, you know, at the time, it's changed a little bit now, but it was very male dominated. It was much like the tech industry. And I was told when I was finally taking that position that it's going to be very difficult for me as a woman because clients may not take me seriously. It's going to be difficult for me because I'm younger. I was probably, you know, at that point, 8-9 years younger than any of the other directors and agencies of our caliber. Mm-hmm. And I was just warned about how difficult it would be. And at that point in time, I was like, you know what? I don't care. It doesn't matter if I'm a woman or not. I'm great at what I do. I understand what I'm doing. I provide value. And at that point in time, I just started, you know, really pushing myself to do what I wanted to do professionally and not even consider gender, because that's silly to begin with, you know, and that's a whole nother discussion. And everybody's going to kind of try to steer you in a certain way, and it's really up to you, and it was up to me at that point to say, I'm not going to listen to you because I know that I can perform and I know, you know, that I can do things to the best of my ability. And I just kind of became unapologetic at that point in time. I was ready to grow. I didn't want to be held back anymore. And it just kind of clicked in my mind that if I want to do this, I just need to keep taking steps and do it.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. Sometimes you're listening to other people and then you have that aha moment that it's really listening to yourself. So the person you're convincing is yourself. And then once you have that down, you can, you know, you're free to take the risks and things that it seems like you've been doing since, which is amazing.
Yeah. And I feel like self-doubt is really the biggest killer of dreams. And that sounds kind of cliche because there's so many quotes out there that talk about that, but it really is. You can weigh yourself down with self-doubt. And you can often do more damage to yourself just with self-doubt. You know, all you have to do is trust in yourself, trust in your abilities. You know, don't really listen to how other people perceive you as a woman or in your career, and just, you know, take whatever you want to and work towards whatever you want to.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Self-doubt is that's, and it's not necessarily cliche. Sometimes people have to hear it because they hear it so much that it sort of becomes wallpaper instead of setting in and being able to express yourself from whatever it is that you want to do and not letting yourself be held back by that self-doubt. So
exactly.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Congratulations on all the success that you're having. And I personally cannot wait to tune in to Permissionless. And is this weekly, or how can audiences go on? Is it on iTunes?
Sure. So I'm doing it every 2 weeks for now for season 1. And it just got iTunes approval, so I'm still getting everything set up so you can subscribe that way. But for now, if they want to listen, it's just permissionless.com/podcast, and then the episodes will be listed underneath there. So episode one is up there and ready to be listened to.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Selena, for coming on and sharing all of this with us. And we can't wait to vice versa tune into Permissionless. Thank you so much. So, everyone, that's our show for today. Again, thank you, Selena. And our leading lady next week will be Liz Goodgold, founder of Red Fire Branding. And that topic next week will be build your brand and business with a book, which seems like it's next on the list for you, Selena. You've checked most of the boxes, podcast, so next stop might be a book. What do you think?
Oh, it is. I've got that. Yeah, it is. I'm already working on it.
Oh, well, thanks so much. I'm your host, Erica Dela Cruz. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in and listening, and have a great week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.